Well, good day and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and we are back with a new year, 2021. We're all looking forward to a new year in 2021, even though it seems like 2020 is trying to hold on and push in a little bit. We're going to ignore that and move forward. And we got to do that. That means we got to have Sam Bradley on, co-host extraordinaire. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Jamie. I missed you guys.
I missed you too.
Yeah.
We were off for a couple of weeks, folks. So we wanted to take a break for the holidays, and we appreciate you all hanging out with us and letting us do that. But we're back, and it's good to have you on again.
Well, the three of us are here tonight because Dr. Joe's off doing some training and Mr. Kyle's still tied up with his goofy schedule. So that's cool. We just got the three of us, but we got some fun stuff to talk about. Miss Vicki, we haven't had a weather update for a while. Has it been pretty mellow out there?
Yes and no. We obviously had that pretty major snowstorm a week-ish before Christmas in the Northeast. I ended up with just over a foot. Jamie, I honestly don't remember if we talked storm or if it was before.
We got about 6 inches here.
Yeah. So some parts of New York State got a lot. There's been a few rounds of snow here and there. The big storm, the big story right now is snow for the East, for the Carolinas, which isn't super common. Could see several inches, 3, 4, 5, 6 inches, definitely more in the mountains and western part of the Carolinas. And then another storm right behind it. We're in a pretty active system right now where pretty much anywhere in the country, you know, north of the real southern states could see snow, off and on every few days. Lake effect event maybe next week. It's winter and it's dull unless you're getting snow, in which case it's a little exciting.
Well, ours has been on the ground and kind of staying there because it's been cold, but we haven't had any major snow for a couple weeks, but it will come.
Yeah, it's all over in Spain right now.
Well, I had a weird question, and maybe it was Spain. I just saw something pass by me that I saw was interesting, but I didn't take the time to read it. But snow-covered trees that look like cotton. You know what I'm? You know what that is?
No, I mean, is it just when you have that real kind of fluffy snow that just sticks to everything?
I don't know. I'm going to have to find that and send it to you because it sounded interesting, but I didn't get a chance to really read it. But anyway, moving back to 2020 for a few minutes, we always like to do at the end of the year, although we got pushed up a bit here, talk about our favorite episodes from last year. And I'm going to be Kyle here for a minute because I told him I'd represent him. And, we had a lot that were the same, but a lot that were different. So that's kind of interesting. So his favorite topic, number one, was wildland fire, smoke, and effects on air quality. And the little blurb he sent with it says, this was a topic at the intersection of public health, disaster response, and meteorology. I learned about the acute and chronic health effects of wildfire smoke and particulates on responder and resident health, and was able to share how public health in the Aspen area was messaging our citizens about the effects of smoke from our wildfires this summer. And yes, Aspen did take a big hit. So he kind of knows firsthand how that felt. And of course, we had those awful fires. I mean, all of the West Coast was on fire, it seems like, for the whole summer. Did you guys have any thoughts on that one?
Well, I know that it was an interesting topic to kind of think about because, some of those particulates and some of that fire residue was getting all the way to the East Coast. Being carried in the winds high aloft, I guess. Becky, you can probably talk more about that than I can. But I remember, hearing about some of it affecting, things on the East Coast because the smoke was so thick and all those particulates were going up into the atmosphere.
And we got it at a time when we had our own fire just above us. So we got a double whammy in terms of smoke. I mean, we didn't see the sun for about 2 weeks. It was just, you couldn't go outside. You couldn't breathe. It was really awful. Becky, what are your thoughts on that topic?
Yeah, I mean, wildfire smoke can have such far-reaching impacts and can actually impact the weather. I mean, obviously, I think we've talked about wildfires creating their own weather just in terms of the thunderstorms that can develop, or the, you know, the pyro cumulus that can develop. But even as, you know, smoke gets caught up in the upper levels of the atmosphere and then just carried downstream, like we saw happen, there have been instances with volcano ash, which has a similar effect that can actually lower the temperature. So there was an incident several decades ago where a volcano exploded and the volcano ash got caught up in the atmosphere and actually reduced the entire global average temperature by like 2 degrees. So I don't know if we have quite those extreme effects from wildfires, but certainly, you know, in the immediate vicinity there in Colorado, you obviously experienced, you know, very poor air quality. You didn't see the sun for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Weather was awful.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of volcanoes, since we last talked, Kilauea in Hawaii is wreaking some havoc. What do you know about that, Vex?
Very little. I honestly
Sam,
have
Sam, you have to stop dropping this stuff on Becky without
I think I saw that around.
It does affect the weather, so I thought, well, what do you know, Jamie? You know everything.
I remember seeing something about a volcano in Hawaii was erupting. But check me if I'm wrong, but Kilauea is kind of a slow eruptor. It kind of oozes lava. It doesn't really, like, explode into the air or anything.
That's probably a good thing. So that's for the people that have to run away from it. Okay, moving right along. So Kyle's second favorite is Wilderness EMS Burnout with James Corbin and Dave Bremson. As a current pro ski patroller and former SAR search and rescue member and volunteer ski patroller, this topic hit close to home for me. As a volunteer, it was challenging at times to keep up with the training and gear requirements and to manage the burnout with difficult calls and juggling volunteer time with the rest of life's responsibility. I think, you know, as much as we've talked about volunteers, that's pretty much a thing for any volunteer is finding that balance. What do you think, Jamie?
Well, and, you know, the two big things are the two R's in volunteerism, whether it's volunteer firefighting, EMS, anything, and that's recruitment and retention. It's hard to get volunteers when you need them, and it's hard to keep them once you get them, because there are, especially in fields like, you know, whether it's ski patrol or firefighting or whatever, you know, the training requirements are enough in those types of fields for safety purposes alone, that, you know, it can become quite a sink on your time. And it's not like you're doing the fun volunteer stuff because you're in a classroom. So it's hard. And it's hard to keep people motivated to do that kind of stuff as part of their process.
Yeah, I remember at the beginning of the season, you know, there's all these refreshers, which are a couple days long. And, you know, it's cool to the extent that you get to see your buddies and at the beginning of the season and all that. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying, Jamie. What do you think, Bex?
Well, I think it's just true of any field where you're seeing things that may be difficult to see, you know, gruesome injuries and accidents and things like that. And obviously, in wilderness, you're also undergoing, you know, physical exertion a lot of the time, and maybe, you know, extreme circumstances. So on top of the physical toll, I think it's very natural to think that there's going to be some sort of mental toll as well, and hope that people are getting the treatment and the rest that's necessary to recover from both.
Oh, yeah. And what I liked about this, too, is it focused on wilderness EMS, which we really don't think so much about that. But and we love James Corbin. He's with us quite a bit. And Dave Bremson's awesome. So their presentation of it was really interesting because we know about burnout and EMS and all of that, but not so much in wilderness EMS. So it was a really interesting discussion. Okay, the third topic, which was one of the ones I liked, favorite guest and compelling subject, Bobby Merica. Bobby's book, If I Have to Grow, It's Good to Know, presents a unique and fantastic medium through which children can begin to understand and build their personal resilience in the face of disaster in their lives. As a first responder, 911 dispatcher, and emergency management educator, our conversation with Bobby resonated with me since building resilience in a family can be a challenge, and this book may be a catalyst to change that. Well spoken, as always, by Kyle. I know we all liked that one, didn't we, Jamie?
Yeah, actually, that made my short list. It wasn't one of the finalists of my top three, but it would have been one of my honorable mentions. It definitely had an impact. I think so often in disasters and preparedness, children are overlooked in how we prepare and help people build that resilience. And so children are often, you know, just seen as, you know, they'll go wherever the family goes without taking into account how they're, you know, affected by the process.
Exactly. And we did a lot of talking about this concept in general, in terms of what we had one toward the end of the year about school drills and how they can best be done so they're not actually freaking the kids out. So I like the fact that we addressed the childhood piece here. I know you liked it too, didn't you, Bex?
Yeah, I think it's a great way to connect with kids and make them feel sort of empowered. Having done presentations to kids after severe weather events, I think they need to understand what happened, and providing, you know, contextual information around severe weather or around any kind of trauma, I think helps. And the way it's presented in her book is, it's relatable and it's understandable. And it's a great way to teach kids that, you know, bad things are going to happen in this world, but, you know, here's what you can do to be prepared and you'll be okay because you know what to do when something bad happens.
And that's huge. Everybody, adults or children, will panic if they don't know what to do. And if they learn ahead of time, they're going to be more resourceful. It's like, okay, your job is to get the dog. And it may be a very simple thing, but the fact that they have a job when it hits the fan makes a world of difference on keeping things together. And one thing I liked about it too, is we talked about, you know, and I doing a lot of firefighter training, I, you know, was at their stations all the time. And she said, I bet if you put one of these coloring books out there with a box of crayons and walk away, you're going to come back and find it's filled out. And I just love that idea that this can translate to other people, first responders and such. Okay, the other question was, what topics would you like to see covered next year? So here's Kyle's list. EMS and public health's role in mass vaccinations. What roles are they playing and what challenges and successes are they experiencing when rolling out their mass vaccination sites? And, of course, the X Games planning and operations, but this time addressing it from the COVID environment. So we will definitely be talking about that. Tales from the field, like testimonials from us or our colleagues on the front line of disaster medical response. That was also one of mine. Responder and family wellness, mental and physical. And we definitely, that's a topic, it's near and dear to our hearts, and we have some experts that come in regularly to talk about that. And I know that's one of Becky's favorite things, so we absolutely will be discussing that. Intersections and interactions of weather and healthcare, e.g., the wildland fire smoke and effects on air quality, which Kyle saw that as kind of putting all of these together. And lastly, recaps of the human side of high-impact meteorological and non-meteorological events and the challenges and triumphs of local responders in the face of adverse conditions. That's one hell of a list, but I like it. What do you think, Jamie?
I think it's a good list, and actually, we had some crossover. I mean, I had the vaccine rollout updates. I think that's something that's going to be important to cover in the coming, you know, at least 6 months, probably more like 9 months, depending on how things go, is that we're going to be covering, you know, how different states and different parts of the country are managing this massive project, and it's going to be unprecedented in getting this type of vaccines in arms, you know, to the level it needs to happen. So,
yeah, we're moving forward on COVID, but it's far from being done, unfortunately. Becky.
Yeah, I think I'd like to, well, are we commenting on Kyle's list or just general topics, future topics generally?
Well, there's a lot in here, but
yeah,
you know, to some extent, we'll cover them all.
Yeah, I mean, I think the vaccine rollout and the impact that weather plays on that, just from the context of transportation, I think it's something that we don't often think about. But obviously, these vaccine doses are on trucks, they're on airplanes, and people need to know what the weather is going to be, particularly for the trucks. I'm curious if the snowstorm back in December played any role in slowing the delivery of some vaccines in the Northeast.
And the guests that he'd love to see again, which I totally agree with, are James Corbin and Seth Hawkins. Dr. Seth, they're both wilderness EMS folks, and we love having them. Okay, Miss Becky, you had a couple too. So you agree with Kyle, because he's the one that does this, of course, preparedness and planning for 2020 winter games with Kyle Nelson. So that was one of your favorites last year. I'm sure it'll be one of your favorites this year, because we will revisit that.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think the logistics that go into planning for an event of that magnitude are just incredible. And it's obvious that it's a huge passion of Kyle's, and it's always fun to hear him talk about it.
Oh, yeah. And I just love listening to him anyway. He speaks so well. Stress management in the face of COVID-19, response and treatment.
Yeah, I mean, this year was tough on a lot of people, and I think no more so, or more than anyone else, tough on healthcare professionals and EMS responders. Maintaining their mental health, I think, has been one of the really difficult aspects of this year, and kind of watching as the year's gone on how it's devolved, when they weren't given the support that they needed, when the public didn't respond in the way they should have, and things just kept getting worse and aren't still getting worse. How do you support them and their mental health during all of that? And I think there's so much that we're going to learn from this, and it's a good thing that we're learning from it, but it's tough because there's such difficult situations that we're, you know, going to observe and learn from, but I wish it not to be this way.
Well, I agree. This is a related topic, and then Jamie, I'll get your thoughts on this so far. First responder mental health and stress injury awareness. And of course, that's another topic that we all worry about. We all are concerned with. So Jamie, what are your thoughts on those so far?
I agree with you know, the Kyle's coverage of the X Games preparations and logistical planning and things like that was fascinating. It's been also fun because we've covered that with him in years past. It's been fun to watch as his responsibility load for that project has gotten bigger and bigger. So we've been able to get a better look behind the scenes each successive year, because he's been more involved with the planning from the ground up each year. So that's been kind of fun. You know, I think Becky's choices all the way around are good, and you know, it was hard to pick. I mean, so I can imagine you had some trouble too, Beck, with the, you know, we cover so many great topics on the show. So I think you did a great job.
Well, her last two, Jamie, I was kind of surprised they came from her. I know they would have come from you because I know you love this topic, but I'll just put these together. Using modular custom shelters from Harbor Wellness and the steer data from NERI reviewed following Hurricane Laura. And I know you love the structural stuff, but Vex, I didn't expect that from you. You're into the mental health and the meteorology topics more so, but I was intrigued when I saw that.
Well, ultimately, I'm passionate about the impacts to people, and both of those topics, and you know, the products that they discussed are, you know, to help people who are being impacted negatively by disasters. The modular shelters are just such an immense amount of ways that you can utilize those, and then the data that was Dan, right? Dan Zahner?
Yeah.
I feel like the data that he presented, there's so many different ways you can use that to contextualize a disaster, you know, before it's happening, as it's happening, and get, you know, updated information out to the public.
I'll just interrupt briefly, but you know, that data is important in so many ways because their examination of the structural effects of different types of weather events and disaster events on structural building practices helps meteorologists come in and, you know, stage storms and, you know, things like that, and tornado levels and things, because they're able to, they know, all right, we see this kind of damage on this kind of structure. That means the winds were at this speed, because we know that because of the research that's, you know, the steer data that they come up with. So all of that stuff is used, and it's got to be used in so many ways. That just makes it doubly valuable.
And we love talking to Dan. He's just a very, his information is just mind-boggling, and we just love talking to him. But Max, you made a couple really nice comments here. I think the ones with the combination of COVID plus severe weather or weather disasters were really fascinating, but also hearing from EMS professionals and Dr. Joe and getting so much detail and insight into what was happening on the healthcare front lines was really compelling. And God bless Dr. Joe. I don't think anyone was putting out the quality and the truth. What did we get? End up with 19 COVID updates from him, Jamie?
Something like that. And that's, you know, I picked one of them.
Yeah, you did. 19.
I picked one of them, but it was really representing all of them, because I think that we were putting data out there and information out there as fast as we could get the facts. You know, that's why we were doing our regular weekly episodes and COVID updates for like 10 weeks, you know, of that 19 special episodes. And I think that was important to do, especially early in the event, when everyone was scrambling for any little shred of information on the healthcare front to try to help us understand it. So, you know, I completely, you know, I thought that was doubly impactful. And I know, Becky, you were getting a lot of information out of it too, as a layperson.
Oh yeah. I can't thank this podcast and Dr. Joe and all of you enough for, you know, keeping me so informed throughout this. I mean, obviously that's information that I, you know, would pass on to family and friends, and, you know that it came from a trusted source. And this past year, information has been, you know, knowledge is power, and I have certainly made decisions differently because of that information, and have thus far avoided getting COVID, knock on wood. So I really appreciate the wealth of knowledge.
We'd love to hear that. And Jamie, I think 19 was particularly special because, you know, Memphis kind of being a hotspot, Tennessee being a hotspot, Joe was talking about the impact on hospitals and what the game plan was when they hit overload. And I was fascinated by that. There was a lot of things I didn't know about that process. So that was a particularly good one that I think he ended up with. I think that was 19. And you would love to hear from Dan again, no surprise there, and Dr. Randy DuPont, who we had on for the first time. He's a psychologist. But your point was, we're still in the midst of such a long-term disaster that the mental health impacts and long-term health implications are so significant. Going to be a lot to observe as we start to come out the other side. Oh, my God, yes. And we definitely will have them back again. So, Jamie, we already mentioned your COVID-19. You also mentioned disaster information and readiness with Ron Neffel from Cedar Digital Corps.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm a bit of a nerd in the sense of I love how we're dealing with different types of technology and advancing how we handle and manage disaster response and preparedness. And this was a fascinating episode to kind of listen to and find out how this grassroots effort was providing real-time data for people in disaster situations in a way that was useful, was accessible, and was scalable in a way that could be used in other ways for different responses and different types of disasters. And so that kind of thing, I mean, the year before, I think I picked the drones episode we did because for the same reason, I just loved how people were using technologies to help with, you know, reviewing the aftermath of disasters using drones when in a situation where you couldn't necessarily cover the ground, but you could do it from the air. And so this was another equally fascinating topic. I'd love to actually see about getting Rob back on the show in, or anyone from that group to come on and talk about how they've moved forward, because they had a lot of things kind of on the cusp that I'd like to see how that kind of panned out.
I will definitely get him back. You're right. I mean, it'll be really interesting to see where they've gone. And the last one was the one that we were just talking about with Dr. Randy DuPont, first responder mental health and stress injury awareness. So that seems to have been popular with all of us. And he was very well spoken about that. So absolutely going to get him back. And Jamie, what you're looking forward to is more technology assisting disaster response, vaccine rollout updates, and another active hurricane season. What's that looking like this year, Beck?
Ooh, too early.
it's too early.
Well,
but I don't know
how early you're able to tell.
The reason I said it that way is, you know, we talked about climate change and some of the issues that we're having with you know, warmer waters in for a longer period of time in the Atlantic and in the Caribbean and the Gulf, and all of that driving storm intensity. So we might not have as many storms, but I feel like, you know, we're consistently seeing storms ramp up faster and stay strong longer. And I anticipate we're going to see more of that. And that's not me, you know, I have no meteorological background, but I've just, from an observation standpoint, I've seen that be a consistent discussion on the show when Kyle and Becky talk about how these storms grow and become strong and often stronger than expected, quickly. And, Becky, I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I know it's too early to predict next year's season, but it is something that, you know, I've seen, and I can't help but think that there'll, you know, be more warm water in the Gulf and in the Atlantic and conditions conducive to storm strengthening.
Well, first, I hope to God we don't have a season with as many storms as we had this past Amen. Season. But you're exactly right, Jamie. I mean, whether, you know, the number of storms isn't as important as the strength of storms. And it's a proven fact now that the ocean waters are warming and that does have an impact on the strength of storms and how quickly they can strengthen. I mean, there were multiple records broken last year for obviously the number of storms, for the strength of storms, it's not good. And more and more people are living on the coast. That's been an increase in the past decade. And all of this is sort of culminating, and we saw it play out in real time this last hurricane season. I hope next year isn't as bad.
Cross your fingers on that. Well, mine were, I took out all the ones that were previously mentioned, and these are just some fun ones I really enjoyed. And then I hope you listen to this one, Becky. Weird winter weather tests. Say that three times with Dan DePodwin.
I did.
What did you think about that?
First off, I don't know where you found some of these.
I know my research.
Did you love we tried to stump him on a few of them?
Did it what?
Did you love it that we actually stumped him on a few of them?
Oh, yeah. No, that was great.
Because I never heard of any of them, so I give him kudos. I don't know how many we went through, but he knew most of them.
Through rapid fire.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of fun, and we love to tease Dan just a little bit. We need to get him on more often this year. Yeah. The other one of the other ones I liked was the USAR Doc in Training with Dr. Sam Nee, and she was talking about just that. She's a new doc. She's with Joe getting involved in USAR and what that was like from her perspective. And she's somebody else that we'll stay in touch with to see how her career folds out. Another one I liked was Boots on the Ground in Cookeville, Tennessee, post-tornado. And we had Joe and Kimberly as well talking about that. And they also covered stress and the family of the disaster responder. And I really like that one because I think we need to do more with preparing families for, you know, when we're leaving and when we're coming back and what's okay and what's not okay. And Joe and Kimberly, Joe, of course, being on USAR and Kimberly being on USAR as a dog trainer, they really get this. They understand it. So they're part of their own family, but yet they're also part of the federal response. So those are my favorites. But I agree with Kyle, more first-person interviews and people that have been there. You know, and we have the things that we always do. We love the weather-related stories. COVID isn't going away anytime soon. Hurricane season isn't going to not happen. So there's not going to be... We certainly didn't have a problem finding topics last year, and I foresee that's going to be the case this year. Becky, any final thoughts from you?
Just on the dog topic, we should have my colleague Tom Bedard come back on, because he's training a cadaver dog.
Oh, yeah. Tom, I really enjoyed him. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a riot.
Yes, let's for sure, because that's another thing that's kind of an ongoing process for him. And we watched Kimberly as she kind of worked her way from newbie into an official USAR dog trainer. So it's kind of fun to get updates on those stories. Jamie, what about you?
You know, I'm going to get a little mushy here, but just spending time with you guys. You, Becky, Sam, Dr. Joe, Kyle, Dan now too. The whole team is really special. This show has been on for a long time, and we always joke about, wow, sometimes we have those weeks where we're like, what are we going to talk about? And we never fail to come up with a great and engaging conversation. And I think this whole process is owed in no small part to the contribution of the team. And I just want to thank you all for being part of that team. And I can't wait to see how we cover 2021.
Well, I totally agree with you. That doesn't sound mushy, by the way. That sounds real, and I totally agree. We have just an awesome team. And other than Dan being fairly new, we kind of dragged him in because Becky can do that. She lives with him.
Yep.
You know, how long have you been with us, Becky? Over a year.
Two years? I think 2 years.
Oh, my God.
I mean, 2020 is like a time warp, so...
Well, this is true. So Kyle's been with us over 3 years, I think. And Jamie, we're pushing 9.
Yeah.
You, me, and Joe. I mean, that's just mind-boggling when you think about it. And we, like you said, we've never run out of topics or awesome guests. And, you know, you guys bring them to me as well. Joe certainly does. So that's awesome. And I've learned a lot about meteorology, Becky. So
I learned a lot from that. All of you. You've certainly continued to inspire my interest in everything EMS, emergency management, everything that we talk about.
We all learn from each other, and I love that. So that's it, Jamie. We'll catch up with Dr. Joe when he's a little less busy, and we'll see what he thought about 2020 later on.
We definitely will do that, and it's been a good episode. I like these retrospectives because it gives us a chance to kind of highlight some of the episodes for people out there that maybe didn't catch them. And Sam's going to send me that list from everybody and by email, so I'll be able to put that in the show notes for this episode. So if you heard an episode mentioned, there will be a link in this episode to find that. So you can... track it down and listen to it if you haven't already done so or want to listen to it again. And I just want to thank Paragon Medical Education Group for their continued sponsorship of the show. 9 years, folks, we've been doing this. In 9 years, Paragon has brought you the Disaster Podcast. And I mean that in a very real sense. It's not cheap to run a podcast, and especially with all the episodes we have hosting and everything else. They help make this episode possible and all the episodes possible. So please reach out to them and thank Joe and the rest of the team there at Paragon Medical Education Group. If you're on the Facebook group, you can reach them there and just say a thank you to Joe and Jim and the rest of the group. Also find them at paragonmedicalgroup.com, paragonmededu on Twitter. And check out what they've got. They're an amazing training organization that will bring you a training set that will be unlike anything you've ever done before. And I mean that sincerely, having done it myself. They've just got something special there. So that's it for me, Sam. I think Becky, where can folks find you and you know, follow what you're up to online?
Yeah, on Twitter at WX underscore Bex and over on LinkedIn at Becky D. Podwin. Excellent. And the Disaster Podcast Facebook group, as always.
As always. And Sam, how about you?
Like Becky said, and she puts out some awesome tweets. You really need to follow her. She's really some interesting topics out there. And she expresses her opinion, too, which I kind of like. But I'm in the usual social media places under Sam Bradley, Sam Bradley 11, our Disaster Podcast group, which is still ever growing. Just think, Jamie, what our 10th anniversary is going to look like and how that group may have grown since the inception of it, and on the disasterpodcast.com website. Jamie.
Well, you can find me under the handle Podmedic in most social media locations, so please friend or follow me there. And, you know, definitely catch up with me on disasterpodcast.com, where there are links in every episode to subscribe to the show. If you have an iOS or Android device, or even by email, there's a way for you to subscribe by just clicking a link, and it'll set it up for you in most cases. So check that out over at disasterpodcast.com. And, of course, join us for the discussion in our Facebook group. Just search for Disaster Podcast in Facebook. Sam, good episode. Like I said, I always enjoy doing these with you because it's great to kind of look back at what we've covered over the course of the year.
Yeah, I do too. I really enjoy these, and we still have one left to do, which is Dr. Joe. I just can't wait until we dig into 2021. It's going to be fabulous. So what can we say except thank God 2020 is over.